call the Subcommittee on Permanent Joint Rules to order Wednesday, March 11. Quorum is present. Members, you have in front of you Senate Resolution 027. Well, let's have Council go through. There apparently are some small technical changes. Go through the changes, and then we'll take any amendments if people have amendments.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, the document before the subcommittee is actually a draft document labeled SR027, and would be the subcommittee can recommend this to the full committee for eventual introduction as a Senate resolution. What this resolution is an engrossed version of the 2015 temporary rules. So there were a few changes in those rules from the previous biennium, and those have been engrossed into this document. And then there are three relatively minor changes that I'll go through fairly quickly. Each of them is technical. The first change you'll see on page 1 on line 10, the stricken language eliminates the specific reference to the 1989 edition of Mason's Manual. That would have the effect of making the current version, which is now the 2010 edition, the governing authority for the Senate. And I can provide more detail on the availability. Staff have looked into that, and I think the intention would be to make copies of the 2010 edition available basically the same way that the 1989 edition exists. Now, one of the difficulties is the 1989 edition is out of print and becoming increasingly difficult to find. So this is kind of a practical solution to that problem. The summary does provide a little more detail on that one, and I can go further into it if there are questions. The other change you'll see...
Mr. Chair.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Bodner, does that mean we're going from the green book to the blue book?
Well, Senator Newman, I did bring a copy of the 2010
That's
edition.
A black
it's actually black. And yeah, if you really want me to bore you with the details, it's a little
better. I just want to know which color book to pick up.
Right, right. So we'll go from blue to black, Senator
Okay.
Newman.
2010.
And then the next set of changes you'll see beginning on page 2 in Rule 3, a new Rule 3.5 is created. This is moving language from where it exists currently in Rule 12.3. This is the provision that prevents a bill from being considered by a committee on the day it is introduced. There seems to be a history of this provision surprising chairs and members because it's written right in the middle of Rule 12.3. It is rather difficult to find that way. This makes it much easier to see, and staff felt it was a more logical way to order that. The next change is on Rule 5, beginning shown on page 3, Rule 5.1, on line 3.18. There are two things going on here. This has to do with the number of votes that are required to recall a bill from committee after committee deadlines. You can see on 3.18 the word applicable is inserted before deadline. This clarifies that it's the deadline that applies to that particular committee that will determine whether or not a supermajority is required to recall a bill from committee. And the summary gives an example that might be helpful in thinking about this. For example, if there's a bill in the Rules Committee which is not subject to deadlines, this change would have the effect of requiring only a majority of the whole Senate to recall that bill at any time. If the bill were in a committee and were subject to deadlines, such as one of the policy committees, after the committee deadline, it would require 41 votes. This just clarifies that. The next change shown in Rule 5.1 is that you can see the stricken language at the very beginning of that rule is moved to a sentence at the end of the rule that clarifies, consistent with Senate practices, that recall of any bill will require the concurrence of the chief author of the bill under any circumstances. And that's it for the technical changes.
Any questions about the SR027 document? Senator Stump. Let's get it in front of us, and then maybe we'll take amendments. Senator Stump moves SR027. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
So you want me to wait? No, Mr. Chair, I was just going to say that we may have, I don't know how quickly, I talked to Mr. Botter and how quickly we can get those Mason's manuals, those new ones. So, assuming as soon as this take effect, as soon as we deal with this on the floor, we're going to be using the updated version. So I would appreciate having that
We should. I don't know.
I can't imagine we would take the permanent rules up on the floor until we had those manuals available to everybody.
Mr. Chair, that's fine. I just wanted to check. And Mr. Chair, the only reason, honestly, at the time we did the 89 is because we didn't want to have to buy new ones. And we had the 89s around. So it was Mr. Ludeman and myself who just decided, you know what, we don't want to spend money on it now.
Yeah. Senator Metzen.
I think any member should be able to get one if they desire one. The new Masons, everybody.
Yes. I think, Senator Metzen, I think we'd put one on everybody's desk.
Oh, there will be?
I think we would expect to do that.
I don't remember that. Okay.
It hasn't occurred yet.
We will take care of it. We did get it before like that.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, yours was probably there, you know, when
mine,
you first
mine
arrived.
Mine was 1947.
Yeah, so they did. I think they gave you. I think they gave you the updated version at one point, but you were so used to the 47 version that you just kept using.
I don't remember.
It would seem putting on their desk would make more sense than sending them back to their offices.
Yep.
So I think we'll probably distribute them that way. Senator Hannon.
Well, I don't remember getting that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe Senator Westrum is here, and he has indicated that he might have an amendment that he'd like to offer. Can he, may he do that?
I think you have to offer it for him.
Is this the place to do it? Yes. No, I think that's fine.
Oh, he can offer it?
Whoever would like to offer it, and Senator Westrum's happy to come to the table to speak to it.
Take one.
You're right in the middle, Tori.
Right in the middle. That's apropos.
Senator Westrum, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and maybe I could ask which one are we on first? I have a water amendment and a extra author's amendment, additional author's amendment. I'm sure Senator Fischbach would like to offer the extra author's amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll pass.
I think I heard they were described to me as House amendments.
Yes.
Do we have anybody that wants to offer Senator Westrum's amendment so that we could speak to them?
I'll offer them. I don't know what they are, but I'll.
who has a copy?
So we can talk to them.
Senator Westrum, which one would you like to take first?
Let's do let's do the additional authors first, and then
okay. Council will distribute that. Senator Hand moves the A3.
Did you move?
And
I don't know. I'm just trying to be quiet.
Senator Westrum, that's the one that changes the number of authors on a bill from 5 to 17.
And Mr. Chair,
tell us why that's a good idea.
Mr. Chair, and I know you and several of us have come from previous training grounds, and the House of Representatives used to have a similar rule that we've had. Which constricts your ability to get co-authors on a bill to 5 or less. And I talked to folks in the House now that can't even believe that used to be a rule in the House of Representatives. And when I first came into the legislature, that was the rule, and that's the way we did it. And so, therefore, that's why it always got done that way. But over the time I was there, and I can't remember Mr. Chairman, if you were there before they changed it or not, but I know several members in the Senate were there during the time that the change happened, and that's been at least probably 10 or more years ago now, that they went up to 35 authors, allowed or co-authors on a bill, and for a variety of reasons. I would suggest we look at changing the number. I've picked the number 17, which is just slightly less than half of what the House allows. 17.5 would be the exact number, but we can't do a half. So I rounded down rather than up. And the idea is, one, you don't need to have so many extra clone bills filed, first of all. And second of all, as you're working to show support for an issue, it's additional or it allows you as an author or a group of legislators to add more people to your bill to show greater interest than just one or two or perhaps five. Never tells you if there's greater interest on an issue or not. And so for those two big reasons, I guess, is why the House switched. But it does promote less clones, less duplication of the same bill being authored just to be able to show your support. And secondly, it's more efficient, and the system does work. We've seen plenty of experience in the House, and so I would just propose that we add additional names to our author sheets so up to 17 members could co-author.
Senator Westrom, I'm having staff distribute a couple of documents, and I'll just kind of walk through the one where I think I'm not sure that it creates the efficiencies that there might be a perception of. With the document I'm looking at, Senator Westrom, indicates the number of times the front desk received motions for adding or name changes on bill introductions, and the number of the 2015 session, the number of times the Senate had a motion at the desk to add or strike an author was 230 times that the front desk had to process that and the Senate floor had to process that paperwork.
Uh-huh.
In the House, it's happened 1,219 times. That seems like we'd be adding in potentially, and that's happening because they can have more authors. It's creating an awful lot of additional motions for the front desk to have to deal with. So I'm not sure it creates the efficiency that it might be perceived that it does. I think there probably is some additional work in other places. And then on name changes in the Senate so far this year, we've had 271 motions on that. The House has had 1,676 times they've changed authors' names on bills. So Senator Westrom, I appreciate your drive for efficiency, except I'm not sure we accomplish it with this. I think we put quite an additional burden on the front desk.
So, Mr. Chairman, when you say name changes, you're saying an author of a bill is left and they've put a new author in place? 1,600 seems like an awful big number that's happened in 2 months. I'm not sure I'm following what you're saying when the name changes.
Senator Westrom, additional authors.
Additional authors. And Mr. Chairman, maybe I would look at the lens a little differently. That shows you how much interest there would be from legislative members in adding their name to a bill. In the Senate, we constrict that, so we wouldn't really know because we don't know. The only option we would have is to go through the whole process of cloning a bill, which is much more cumbersome and takes more paper and resources than just simply saying, you know what, I like that bill, I would like to show my support for it, which is just a motion. The alternative we have is clones. So I don't have the number, but one, we'd have to look at how many clones we have, but two, there's an unknown number out there because of this, what I would call archaic rule, but that's why I'm here to discuss it, that if somebody's interested in supporting something that somebody else has come up with the idea of, there is no way in the Senate to simply add your name if there's already five authors on the bill. So you then have to take a bigger step and clone the bill, which might not be your passion, but you have no way to indicate your support. So,
Senator Westrom, I think the second document I handed out shows the number of bill introductions in a biennium in the Senate and the House. And I'm not sure that the Senate has more clone bills than the House does, because it goes back on a biennial basis, mm-hmm. back to 1973, and in every single year, It shows more bills were introduced in the House that were introduced in the Senate. So if their effort was to reduce the number of clone bills in the House by adding additional authors, it didn't actually happen because, for instance, in the 13-14 biennium, the House introduced over 400 more bills than the Senate did. So I don't know what's going on there, but
I can explain that too. I think
are running rampant in the Senate, or we seem to have, we have more bill introductions than the House.
And Mr. Chair, so you're saying the House had that many more clones than the Senate, or had total
that
number
many
of
more, that many more bill introductions,
than what we had in the Senate?
Correct.
Well, let me offer my educated hypothesis from experience, which you would also have to judge from. But one significant difference would be the House is always in campaign mode, from my experience. And with the Senate having a four-year term, there is a difference of heightened need or demand, I would suggest, as to a big reason for why those bill numbers are up. Because in my short time in the Senate, I have already noticed that big culture difference just in the Senate to the House, which is a four-year term versus a two-year term. So I would offer that as a logical explanation based on some experience around here as a good reason for at least a large part of those numbers.
It seems like, Senator Westrom, that the House and Senate, when we're both leading up to an election where we're both on the ballot, like the current biennium,
right,
that wouldn't necessarily follow through because we're both going to be on the ballot at the same time,
correct,
during the same two-year window of bill introductions, but still in every single case, the House introduced hundreds of bills more than the Senate. So
But Mr. Chairman, I think you said 13 and 14, which the Senate was not up for re-election. But I would offer my observation as an outsider, freshman senator, the tenacity in the Senate for re-elections is different than the House. There is the House was by design from our forefathers a group of more knee-jerk reaction to the public. The Senate is more of a stable, methodical, long-term body, hence the 2 and 4 year terms. And I would sit here and tell you that I think they got that design outcome, which is what I've read and heard in different places as part of what they're trying to achieve. But I think that is a difference in culture. I don't want to get into those weeds too much. I just think it would be practical that we could add more authors. If 17 is too many, maybe we could start with 6.
But Senator Westrom, I often describe my House member as being closer to the people because he certainly does send a lot of bill jackets over. They don't all get introduced.
Right,
everyone's
right.
Not a grand idea, but
right.
But I've never described it as knee-jerk, but maybe I have a new phrase for him.
Closer to the people, knee-jerk. Same thing, Mr. Chair. I think sometimes the Senate can take more of a long-term approach with four-year elections.
Senator Stump.
thank you, Chairman. I'm not sure what legislation that you're carrying, but I have just the exact opposite problem. It's hard for me to find authors that want to sign on to some
for
of
your bill.
So if I'm lucky, I'll get maybe 2 or 3 authors on a bill. So I'm not sure I'd want to do the extra work and try to round up 17.
Senator Fischbach.
Well, and Mr. Chair, you were talking about some of those sheets you had, and I saw that interesting statistic down at the bottom, and that probably plays on Senator Stump's comment, where it, as of 3/10/15, 477 of the 1,556 bills that had been introduced, only 477 of them had full authors, had 5 authors. So there was a lot of Senator Stump's bills that went in without 5 authors. But that's less than 1/3 of the bills that are actually, are full and having 5 authors. So I just And all this talk of the House is making me itchy. I don't know, so.
Well, a lot of former House members at the table here.
I know, and I'm glad
Senator
I'm
Fishbrock,
here
it might be your wing.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'll just, if
Senator
I may,
Newman.
I just weigh in. I will tell you, and I would say to Senator Westrom, I much prefer the House rule of five authors rather than, the Senate rule of five authors rather than the House rule. We can spend an infinite amount of time running around trying to get authors. Candidly, I'd much rather be entertaining a motion on allowing me to turn around and talk to you than to increase the number of authors. So just to give Senator Westrom a heads up, this does not sound to me like something that I would be willing to support.
And I'm getting that drift.
I'm just trying to be a little more direct.
Did you lobby anybody on the committee?
But Mr. Chairman, I know change is hard, and so heard a report a couple days ago that I think if I heard it right, there's 400,000 people in the world now that have exceeded 100, living beyond 100 years old. And one of those is in my nursing home in Evansville at 110. And this lady, every time I go there, and the owner of the nursing home tells the story often as she does, he asks her, what is the one thing you've learned through your life? And she said, change is hard, but it's inevitable. And at 110, she speaks very great wisdom. So,
Senator Westrom, I'm having a hard time finding an author of your amendment at the table.
I realize that. So, well, we could just take a baby step of six, but Mr. Chairman, I understand. I wanted to present this. I think it makes some sense. I got counters to some of the comments, but I see where this is going. But obviously, if I'm going to offer it on the Senate floor, the first reaction I'm going to get is, well, did you go through subcommittee and try the suggestion there? But Mr. Chairman, I just think it would be a practical thing to allow on some bills. Not every bill has that issue, but the ones that do, it's an easier way to build support momentum.
Well, we appreciate the heads up. The other, and I don't believe we had a motion to move it, correct?
And you can withdraw it if not, that's what you prefer.
Mr. Chair, I think I moved the bill, or the amendment, to get it in front of us.
Would you like to withdraw your motion or vote on it?
Senator Westrom seems to indicate we need to withdraw the motion, so I will withdraw the motion.
Yeah, thank you. The 8-3 amendment is withdrawn. There's one other one that Senator Westrom has.
And you want to give it a try?
8-2 amendment.
And
I think if former Senator McGuire was here, she probably would be supporting this. But I don't believe she ever served on the Rules Committee either. Senator Westrom, this one deals with sealed containers, water containers on the floor of the Senate. Maybe you could speak to us why that would be a good idea.
Mr. Chairman, this would be a pretty straightforward, simple amendment allowing a bottle of water on the Senate floor to be hosted at a desk of a senator while we're in session. And that's as far as it goes. I didn't go down the road of pop or Gatorade or anything else that might cause more questions or controversy. I thought we'd be there. We could just put our toe in the water with a little allowance of some H2O, especially in the Senate. If you get long debates, I think of Minshew debate and Senator Lurie and how long he was on the floor. And I know in some cases I've had my eyewitnesses out watching. There's a breaking of this rule, although not real obvious or noticeable, but I just think it would be a practical allowance on the Senate floor of water, which in a sealed bottle, a plastic bottle, minimizes the chance of even having spills. And, of course, water wouldn't wouldn't stain anything if it ever happened to spill. But that's the proposal. Water's healthy for you, and I think it's a good thing to promote and allow people to have water at their desks.
Senator Newman.
I'll go first. I remember serving in the House, and we had water and pop
potato
and
chips.
Peanuts and potato chips, and in that somewhat uncivilized atmosphere, it literally turned into a food fight. Sitting just here at this table, I remember standing on the floor arguing the photo ID constitutional amendment for hours and hours and hours, and I survived without a water break. Senator Hahn, you may have come close to setting the record of being on the floor with the Health and Human Services bill, and you survived it. I would respectfully disagree with Senator Westrom. I would not agree to clutter up our desks. If we need a water break, we have the retiring room. We can step into that and replenish our nourishment as we need fit. So I would not be in support of this bill.
Sir, any member interested in offering the A2 amendment? Senator Sieben offers the A2 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, I understand that we have tradition that we need to follow in the Senate, and that's important. But I think that allowing members to have water is not a big deal. There are there was a time where women had to wear skirts on the Senate floor, which seems kind of unbelievable that actually wasn't that long ago. And I'm not really sure how water is related to that, except that I remember last year I passed legislation that said that pregnant women should be allowed access to water at their place of work on a reasonable basis. And it seems to me that, having been pregnant 3 times now and not going to do it again, but it's pretty reasonable to have water at your desk on the floor of the Senate. And if it's sealed in a container, maybe we could add a provision where it needs to be kept on the shelf underneath your desk so it's not cluttering up the tops of your desk. I don't really think it's a big deal, actually. And Senator Westrom, I'm happy to support you your motion, even if it's not gonna come through this time.
Would we need recycling containers down there?
It's a slippery slope on the floor. On here.
I think if there are some very, very unique circumstances, the rules are subject to consideration on the floor. We suspend them from time to time with a supermajority vote. I think if some individual member had some circumstances where that was required, I think the full Senate probably would give that consideration, but I mean, opening it up to every desk seems a little problematic. Senator Fischbach.
And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point out that we all do have access to water. Like Senator Newman said, we just have to walk into the back, into the retiring room, and there's water and coffee available. So we're not denying anyone food and water. It's readily available there, water in the back room. And I just, I think that we are cluttering things up. There's lots of, when you think of our desks, it's a slope. There's only that small area on the top where we're all going to have water, and it's not covered by glass, and there's wood there, and that can be stained if by some strange chance that the water bottle would leak or spill or whatever the case is. There's just not room in our chamber for it. We have access. Nobody else can go in our retiring room and drink our water, so there's plenty of it back there for us if we need it.
On the Sieben motion to adopt the
Chairman.
Senator Westrom.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I can just offer a final closing argument, I guess. Mr. Chairman, I would submit Senator Fischbach and any of you that want. I've got access to the House chamber, and we could go on a tour. There is not widespread damage to the property in the House chambers. I think this is just more than reasonable to ask to suspend the rules every time somebody might have a desire to have water on the floor, Mr. Chairman. I just don't think is a practical way to go, and probably not going to be an option many people would elect to do. I understand you can go in the back. You either choose skipping some debate if you're going to do that, or prolonging it, and whether if it's a pregnant woman, I just think there's lots of reasons. Water is healthy. We know that more than we did 100 years ago or longer when these rules were probably established. There wasn't plastic bottles back then, and so I understand. We are also, in closing, going through a multi-million dollar renovation, and if there's a time to make this change, it might be now, and maybe $1,000 of that should be spent on a cup holder at the top of the desks, if that's what our concern is, that we can't keep our bottles. Like our automobiles have progressed over my lifetime, the Senate, I think, could take this baby step.
All right.
And allow H2O.
Senator Westrom, I think there was a time where there were ink wells on the desk.
Oh.
It was a little small for
spittoons.
There was a time there were spittoons, but I would move to amend.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest ink could cause more damage than a little water.
Senator Ennis.
Well, I see where this is going.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your acknowledgement that we can make exceptions to the rules as needed, but I'm just very fearful that with Senator Westrom's amendment, we're going to be heading down the slippery slope. The next thing you know, we'll be wearing shorts and T-shirts on the floor. And we'll have food and refrigerators under
our desks.
No ties. I can't imagine. So I think we ought to be very careful about taking this first step down what might be a very slippery and fast slope into house behavior. I just think we should be cautious.
I'm not suggesting that slippery slope. And even in the house that allows all this stuff you've talked about, Mr. Chairman and Senator Hand, go over and observe on a day of long debate over there. By and large, most of them are civilized and tied up, and there's not a mass chaos, even in that body that has gone so far astray.
Mr. Chairman, I think the operative words there were by and large.
Senator Westrom, they even allow each other to vote for each other over there.
Well, they don't, but it's a practice that does happen.
On the Sieben motion to adopt the A2, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
Motion does not prevail.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Westrom, thanks for coming in.
Do you beat fun?
Mr. Chairman, I just don't want to see any of you with water at your desk now.
I can honestly say I never have.
Except Senator Sieben.
Except Senator Sieben.
If you get pregnant, I
okay.
will suspend the rules.
Senator Sieben moves that the SR-027 document be referred to the Rules Committee to be drafted into a resolution for the committee to then consider to be sent to the floor of the full Senate. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. That concludes the work of the subcommittee. Thank you, members. Subcommittee's adjourned.
Mr. Chair, do you have any idea when we get the book? I mean,